Almighty God, our Father, thy Bethlehem visit did remind us that thou didst come to that place and that time, on thy way to all places and all times. And our hearts tell us today that the gospel always comes to us on its way to someone else. We worship today mindful that we are here to experience once more the dimensions of the good news, that we dare not go away just as we came, because if the good news reaches us, it must through us go to others. We thank thee that thou dost receive us just as we are and not as we pretend to be. Make us very weary from a pretending. We worship thee this day in the wake of a great cloud of witnesses. Our faults outnumber our virtues, and thus our hearts turned to confession. Forgive us for the times we've succeeded in deceiving ourselves and our friends, decorating our lives while we decorate our trees, knowing full well deep in our hearts that we have never deceived thee. In sinning against others, we know that we do sin against thee. We've thought too often, too many times of ourselves, and too seldom, too often of others. O God, today and during these days, help to uproot our self-centeredness. We've been unwilling to forgive others, yet have had the gumption to ask thee to forgive us. We've criticized others in order to inflate our own sense of importance. Give us a kind of generosity as thy gift supreme these days. We've twisted our consciences until sometimes they tell us that wrong is right, or at least half right. And at other times we do the right only because it's expedient to do it. God, help us to learn to love truth and right for their own sakes and for ours. We've sought the spotlight at times when we've been too small to stand in it. And at other times, God, we've sought the shadows just at the moment when someone needed to stand up and be counted. We desire to be renowned for great deeds, and all the while are notorious for small performances of the duty nearest at hand. Increase our faithfulness, O Lord. We confess all these things to thee today because the season beckons us to confession. In thy grace, forgive us. Yet in our hearts we know we need more than mere forgiveness. We need to be empowered, to be changed, the inward part, or else we'll do these same things again. In Jesus Christ we prayed. Amen. The way the translators of the New English Bible did it, one of the weightiest statements in all literature, one of the weightiest realities in all history, is recorded in 12 words in Matthew's second chapter. Jesus was born at Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Herod. And that says it. He wraps all the heavy in 12 light words. I suppose the season is at best a kind of tapestry of the heavy and the light. I know that you're experiencing a heavy Christmas because I have been where so many of you are today. Heavy tests, heavy pressures, heavy schedules, heavy holidays ahead, heavy ambitions, heavy hopes, heavy aspirations, heavy meals, and eventually, just heavy. I'd like to inject a light note in the heaviness of the season. Or it may not be so light after all. I'll let you decide. The note is a note you heard early in your life, I suspect, when someone somewhere sat beside the bed when you were too young to read yourself and read you something that goes like this. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." Now, I told you it was going to be light, but you didn't think it would be that light, did you? Well, now, I admitted that this is a light, brief comment on Christmas. But there are two thoughts here that I think are worth, in the midst of the heaviness, our review. The first thought's really a question. Question: just how much is Christmas an experience that can be had in a private corner? Now, even as a child, when I got to where I could hear and understand at least a little bit about that nursery rhyme, that jingle, I wondered why he was in the corner eating his Christmas pie. And I thought of three possibilities. The first one is that whoever wrote it originally, Mother or Father Goose or somebody, had to have a word that rhymed with Horner. And corner was a good word, so they just picked that. Another possibility is that he had been naughty, which was my earliest impression of the situation, and someone had beseeched him to go to the corner, and that didn't fit together at all. So I came up with a third possibility, that here in the corner, he wouldn't have to share his Christmas goodies with anybody else. Perhaps an annoying sister or a brother who seem always to ask for a slice of someone else's Christmas. I don't know what he was doing, crouching in the corner, but it does remind me of an old Chinese proverb. A person who's all wrapped up in himself, so the proverb goes, makes an awfully small package. And I guess the smallest Christmas package that anybody could ever conceive is a human being all wrapped up in himself or herself. The Chinese meant by this that sometimes we can become so interested in our own selves, so impressed with our own situations, that we forget all about the others who surround us. And this makes a small person in a small corner and a horribly small Christmas. You remember Edith? Edith was popularized in a not so long ago drama. And in it, one observer in the line says, "Poor Edith, bounded on the north, the south, the east, and the west by Edith." Now that makes an awfully small package, any season, particularly during a holy season like this one. You remember a party that was described in another little bit of verse that I think comes out of the nursery? The description of the party is as follows. "I had a little party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches, while I drank up the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. Now, that may be fun to have a party like that, but it's tragic to have a Christmas or a life like that. But that's inevitably what a corner does to you, to me, to you, to us. Even a Christmas corner, it wraps a life up in an awfully small package. There are all kinds of corners to get ourselves in this Christmas or to keep ourselves out of. Malcolm Boyd, in a prayer he wrote, underscores at least one that I feel is a peril to me. I wonder if it is to you. Boyd prays as follows. Here I am in church again, Jesus. I love it here. But as you know, for some of the wrong reasons, I sometimes lose myself completely in the church and forget the people outside whom you love also. It's sad, I think, but true, I think, that even the church can become a corner into which we retreat at Christmas to eat our pie in the sky by and by, while the very world for which Christmas happens goes their cold, hungry, angry, sad, lost way, needing us. At least I'm nudged. I'm nudged by something the apostle said, who, wherever he spent those Christmases from the Damascus Road till they chopped off his head, I doubt very seriously he ever found himself in a corner enjoying one in isolation. He said something about being a laborer together with God. That means to me that wherever the good Lord is at work this Christmas, then I ought to be there somehow. And if I'm not, then I'm at the wrong location. And Christmas, really Christmas, may be happening somewhere else than where I am. The crucial point, I think, is this, that Christmas, these days, Advent, reminds us that a church which bears the name of the man for others must be a people for others. From the top of their heads to the bottom of their hearts, that's their modus operandi, a people for others. So what does this mean for me, for you, for us? Well, I, for one, hope that it means that these days of Advent, this happy, holy, significant, unrepeatable, unique experience we're all on the threshold of enjoying will thrust us out of our Jack Horner complexes, out of our corners, out onto all the corners of all the streets where cross the crowded ways of this earth's people. For a corner is a terrible place to spend these days, even if it does happen to be a stained glass corner. Christmas is no experience for an isolated, insulated, sterilized corner of any kind. Now, that's the first thing that pops out in this light little commentary on one man's observance of the season. The other is this: that Christmas, to me, does not seem to be an appropriate time to think too highly of ourselves. You know what incarnation does to me? It reminds me of how much like God I am, so much like Him to make incarnation possible. But on the flip side, it reminds me of how much unlike God I am, so much unlike Him to make incarnation necessary. Again, observe Christmas at the Horner house. Over there in his corner, surrounded on all four sides, or three sides, I suppose, if it's a corner, by himself, he pops in his thumb, pulls out a plum, and reaches a not at all unsuspected conclusion. What a good boy am I. Now, that's a fine commentary if you're looking for Santa Claus, but it's not a very good one if you're looking for the Lord Christ. The whole theme of Advent is a contradiction of that slippery attitude. For Christmas happened, you see, not because God was on a pleasure trip pop calling on the righteous. Christmas happened because God was on a death journey, careening toward Bethlehem to be born, to die, confronting the evil deep down in every one of our hearts. Hear Paul writing to the Romans in his third chapter. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then hear him, because of that fact, writing to them in his 12th chapter. I bid every one of you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this does not mean that we loathe ourselves, that we hate ourselves, that we become some sort of sadist in relation to ourselves. Some measure of self-esteem, self-love, self-appreciation, not only is proper, but it's necessary. Fundamental. Self-confidence is one of the gifts the Lord Christ brings. It is a wholesome measure of self-understanding, self-acceptance, self-appreciation, which equips us for our work in the world. But after this is said, what next? We can become infatuated with ourselves. We really can. Those of us who are on a collision course with ministries like our ministries, in a world like our world, can become too infatuated with ourselves. You remember the young Greek, Narcissus, I suppose. He watched his own reflection in a pool till he fell in love with it, and finally toppled in the pool attempting to embrace his own image. He was drowned. Ever since then, we've had more than a name for a flower. We've had a word, narcissism, to define an inordinate self-esteem, a kind of Jack Horner sort of situation, too much in love with ourselves. I saw something in a news magazine a few days ago that I can't forget this Christmas. The setting was in Boston. On one page were these words, written beautifully in bold, quote, I like rain and cool winds. I like clouds floating in a blue sky and birds and cats and little puppies. I like the sea when it wears diamonds and lilacs in the spring and lambs at play. I like the smell of burning leaves and the taste of juicy red apples. I like pretty dresses and weddings and babies. And then the reader turns the page and sees the picture of a beautiful 11-year-old Negro girl who looked downcast with big sad eyes when she asks, I wonder why some people don't like me just because I'm me. It's a good question at Christmas. To answer that boils down at last to a kind of attitude of a Jack Horner in his corner. What a good boy am I? Those who think too highly of themselves, you see, can't ever afford really to think too highly of anyone else. Well, what's the cure for that? We can't cure it. We really can't. No matter what kind of label we put on the bottle, we can't cure it. Well, we can catalog some attempts at cures, legislation, education, social change. But for it all, we've not had much success with the human heart, have we? What must happen is that we mortals must be rebirthed. We must be lifted right out of our little corners of self-centeredness and be placed under a new lordship. And that, my friends, is what the season is all about. Paul called it making all things new. That's what he called it. George Matheson said it like this: to make things new is not the same as to make new things. For to make new things is a work of the hand. But to make things new is a work of the Spirit. That's the gospel. That's what Advent is all about. To make persons like you and like me new at Boston and at Wake Forest. Jesus Christ has come to jostle us, all of us, little and big Jack Horners, out of our corners where we would eat this year's Christmas pie. And when we put in our thumbs and pull out our plums, Christ has come to teach us to say, what a marvelous God have I. So let's rewrite the verse with apologies to Mother Goose. Little Jack Horners like us, get out of our corners to eat our Christmas pie put in our thumbs and pull out our plums and say, "How strangely to God belong I." I hope that's the sentiment that captures you, and I hope that's the sentiment you capture at your house and in your heart during these light moments in the midst of a heavy season. Almighty Father, our God, come to us today as thou didst come to them in that day. Make here where we are a 1974 Bethlehem in Christ.